Semper Fi to all my brothers and sisters of arms out there. Welcome to another episode of From the Battlefield to the Boardroom. My favorite quote, Nelson Mandela, education's the most powerful weapon we can own. And that's what we focus on here on Battlefield to the Boardroom. I'm your host, Sean Tiberio. And think about it. Starting to run a business of your own sounds like a phenomenal idea. Being your own boss, taking no orders from anyone else. Man, it's like a dream come true that many would love to have. Now, with that comes the pressure of capital, starting the journey, and ultimately keeping the lights on. Well, the good news is, as veterans, there are options specifically designed to do just that. And we're joined today in the studio by Israel Neary, who is the assistant director, the district director, here in Los Angeles for lender relations with the SBA, and more importantly, some specific programs for veterans. So welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sean.
Absolutely. So I know you're active service member right now, right? Second lieutenant in the Army Reserves, yet we're also focusing here on the SBA side. So tell me a little bit about that journey. How did the two come together, and more importantly, like why the SBA? Why are you so drawn to the military side of lending?
Sure. So I mean, in terms of the service side of things, I've always had a public service oriented background. You know, my parents, I'm a first generation, so my parents really instilled into me about giving back any way possible, and I felt that I have benefited a lot from being a U.S. citizen, mm-hmm. being born here, and giving my parents an opportunity to really build a better life here. So I think when the opportunity presented itself to give back in terms of commissioning, I felt that it was sort of a duty for me to call, and I jumped in that opportunity and decided to take that risk and commission. And you know, here I am a year later, thankfully, and I'm grateful to be giving back in any way possible on that side of things. And then right now, in my current role as an assistant district director at the Los Angeles District Office, you know, one of the things that I look back on is really the small businesses, the mom and pop shops of the neighborhoods where I grew up in, and sort of the struggles they had, mm-hmm. especially when it came to access to capital. Access to capital is one of the biggest challenges small business owners have, and having the opportunity to really work in that policy field and the legislative side of things now, in a program side of things, and really have the opportunity to engage in external events, partake in radio shows such as this one today, and really inform the audience on what resources exist out there for them for free at a low cost is something that I relish. I really hope to really impart a good amount of knowledge for your listeners today.
Awesome. And I couldn't agree more, right? The small mom, a lot of people say that is where the America was made, was the small mom and pop side. And I know as veterans getting out of the service, going to maybe the traditional route, going to school, going to the corporate role, may not be for everybody. That maybe they've got this little entrepreneurial bug in them where they want to kind of step into it. So before we get into some of the specifics of, you know, the different programs and qualifications and some of the other stuff that's out there, what do you see as being one of the biggest misinformational pieces or kind of misconceptions, so to say, that maybe veterans have when they're looking at the SBA? You know, we're a brand new business, or maybe I just got this idea and I've got this image that the SBA is for more established type routes.
That's a great question, Sean. And one of the things that I run into when I run into former and current active service members when they talk about dealing with the SBA is this sort of notion that, oh, it's a government agency, therefore it's going to be very bureaucratic, therefore it's not going to be a lot of added value. It's going to be a lot of more burden on my end than benefit. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, time is money. Time is precious. Time is a commodity. And as an aspiring entrepreneur, you really want to be using your time as wisely as possible. And I think there's sort of this misconception that dealing with a federal agency such as the SBA is going to be burdensome. But I'm here to really, you know, turn the script and really say that nowadays, dealing with the resources that we have is actually very beneficial. It provides a lot of added value.
So what was it in the, I mean, you said that you kind of looked at the local mom and pop shops in the area that you grew up. You're an LA native, correct?
That is correct.
So you were seeing that, and that's kind of what drove you into this space. What about the local mom and pop side led you to want to be in the lending field?
Sure. It's just the information that they lacked, right? So a lot of times, a lot of these small businesses were in what we call bag deserts, meaning that there's really not a lot of banking services close to them. And if there are, unfortunately, they don't really cater to small businesses, the mom and pop shops, particularly, especially startups as well. Mm-hmm. And by startups, I don't mean like the technology startups, but I mean like, hey, your local liquor store, your local grocery store, a new restaurant in the community. That's sort of what I'm speaking to. And so a lot of times when I would, you know, growing up and just talking to these small business owners, what they would tell me is like, look, the bank told me I needed money and the bank told me no. And therefore I decided to go with this other option. And that other option, as I grew up, I realized was pretty much a predatory option, right? Mm-hmm. It's a shark loan, whether it's a, you know, high interest only paying loan. And that really ends up diminishing your ability to scale up as you progress with your business, and ends up eating a lot of your revenue and pretty much decreasing the potential profit that you can make from your business.
Absolutely. I see that a lot in the real estate space. I've got my own business on that side, and you see a lot of the loan shark style loans out there. So I'm going to put you kind of in your daily role, in a sense. I'm a brand new veteran, and I want to start a business, and I'm looking at, I mean, listen to this, and I'm hearing as the SBA is an option. What do I do? What does this look like? What programs are available?
Sure thing. So when I meet individuals that are very much aspiring entrepreneurs or are in the process of actually opening shop, they're very good at their craft, right? Like if it's an individual who's very passionate about beer, I'm sure they're very good about, you know, the distillery and, or, you know, the brewery, and really pretty much crafting yeast and whatever process goes into that. But then when it comes to the business plan aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, that's something that they really don't want to deal with, or they're really hesitant to do so, even though it's a big portion of what will end up being the future of the business. So what we can do at the Small Business Administration is really refer you to our resource network that is there to help you out in whatever deficiencies you have. We have something called Small Business Development Centers that offer pretty much free or low cost services to really help your business get up and running.
Unpack that a little bit for a second.
Sure.
That's big.
Yes.
And I'm even learning something myself right here. So what do you mean by it's free and low cost? That's awesome. How do they help? What do they do?
Sure. So small business development centers, along with other resources such as SCORE and veteran business outreach centers, are funded through us, but via grants. Mm-hmm. And their purpose is to pretty much provide services to aspiring entrepreneurs, particularly our veterans, in items that they need help on. So if you're a small business or you're an aspiring entrepreneur, you have access to resources pretty much for free. These are taxpayer-funded initiatives. So it's your money. So if you're not using it, you're pretty much not getting your bang for your
buck. So you're basically already paying into these.
Exactly.
Might as well tap into them,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Might as well tap into these resources that are there to help you be successful.
What type of resources are available out there?
Sure thing. So, for example, a lot of these resource centers that I just mentioned, a lot of them offer business plan courses or business plan help. So basically, you know, you have this great idea, you want to get this business started, or you have a small business that's already started, but you're ready to scale it up. You're ready to take it to the next level. You're ready to get some capital. These resource centers basically will sit down with you and go over your business with you and help develop that business plan that you'll be able to take up in front of a banker or a non-predatory lender, mm-hmm. and be able to pretty much answer the questions that they're going to ask. Okay, like what is your business about? Where is your business headed? And how are you going to get there? And so these resource centers are there to provide you with that help. Items like organizations like SCORE, which are pretty much former executives, they're not retired, they're not trying to give back to their communities via mentoring. They pretty much what they do is that they mentor small businesses that are either in a similar industry to them or can somehow, some way relate to them, you know, basically in terms of what kind of business it is. And they provide mentorship to a small business owner or aspiring entrepreneur to really put that idea and make it into a reality.
So it's basically, it's a free resource in a sense. Basically, you're getting a free business consultant almost as you're getting your feet up off the ground and getting going. Because you're tapping into, it sounds like, some pretty significant experience before you really kind of put one foot in front of the other, so to say.
Sean, you know, what's funny, well, sort of funny, is that sometimes me and my colleagues engage in dialogue. And a lot of that dialogue is how a lot of these resources we have are some of the best kept secrets in government, given that they're pretty much free and available to use. And it's to the extent that the small business community exists, it's still not really being tapped to its fullest potential. And so we call it the best kept secret in government. And we're trying to unravel that. We're trying to make sure that it's one of the best known things in government, right? It's a way that government works directly with you to help you out, which should be the case. I'm sure we can all agree on
100%
when it comes to your use of taxpayer dollars.
So how's the SBA kind of helping get this message? Because I agree with you 100%. It's a huge resource, and I bet it's very underutilized.
Sure thing.
So what are some of the things the SBA is doing right now to get that out there?
So what we're trying to do is come to radio shows, right, and basically discuss tool, give the audience an opportunity to learn about the resources that are available to them. We engage in external events and across the district. Our district includes Los Angeles, Ventura, and Santa Barbara County. So we go to cities and hold events and really try to gather either current small business owners or aspiring entrepreneurs and really get them a holistic overview of how our agency can help them. We partake in city events. Mm-hmm. For example, the city of Los Angeles just had an event at Cal State Northridge in terms of how to contract with the city. And basically, we went there to really provide them with a holistic overview of how we can help these small businesses or potential businesses get the financing they need to eventually do business with the city. So we find ways to collaborate with cities, find ways to collaborate with nonprofits, and we get out there. At the same time, you know, we know when it comes to small business owners, it's sometimes there's a lot of hesitation when it comes to attending these types of events because, you know, as I alluded to, time is a commodity, and therefore sometimes like, well, I don't know if that's the best use of my time. But if you see these events come through, whether it's in your newspaper, whether it's through our social media, we have a Twitter, you know, we have a Facebook page, and we also have our SBA.gov site. We really try to convey a lot of the resources that are out there for veteran aspiring entrepreneurs.
Awesome. So I'm a veteran. I've got this. Let's say I start to tap into some of these resources, and I mean, funding capital for a business is there's two things I always say is the lifeblood: marketing, leads, and then the money to actually afford that or to keep that going and to, you know, provide whatever the product or service is for it. So what does that process look like? How do I start the process? What are some of the qualifications? How do I even know if it's something that's going to work for my business?
When it comes to the financing?
Absolutely.
Sure. So when it comes to SBA financing, we have something called the North American Index Classification System. And you can look that up on our website, sba.gov. Basically, what that chart does is it basically lists every type of industry that you can think of. Mm-hmm. And then it gives you the threshold amount of what qualifies as a small business. In some instances, it's revenue. So if you're a construction company and your revenue is under $27.5 million, you're actually considered small under our standards.
Really?
Yes.
That's probably pretty shocking to some people. $27.5 million
yes,
being
it is.
Small.
It is, but it's because of the high cost of doing business
right.
And so forth. If you're a biotech firm and you have under 500 employees, you're considered small. So it's just... I use those two because they're very much contrasting industries. And it, like I said, any type of industry that you can think of, it's listed there and it tells you what amount. Now, the only restrictions that we have is when it comes to businesses that are in the cannabis industry, unfortunately, given what federal law is in the books right now,
right,
those type of businesses can't really help out.
Makes sense, even though it's legal at the state level.
Yeah, and
the SBA that, being a government agency in a sense,
yes,
right? It's still under their jurisdiction.
That's correct. That's correct, Sean. But with that said, there is state resources that exist for any entrepreneur that's in that industry.
Gotcha. So as a veteran, what's special? Like, let's take this comparison here for a second. You got a veteran-owned business, startup, right? Small business. Maybe they've had it going for a little while. And a non-veteran, is there any difference? Is there some benefits towards one side than the other?
There is. So I'll explain this holistically. So particularly when it comes to veteran startups, usually those loans tend to be under $350,000 or less. And when it comes to that amount or less, we have something called the SBA Express Program. What the SBA Express Program is, it's any lender that wants to participate in that, that's an SBA, current SBA lender, and wants to participate in that program, basically cuts the bureaucratic process by half. A lot of these SBA lenders that really have this program down can issue a loan if everything's pretty much together within 48 to 72 hours. And when it comes to veterans, the way this works is that the SBA loan provides a guarantee to lenders.
Mm-hmm.
So a lender pretty much has an insurance in case the borrower defaults. Now, the insurance that's pretty much provided by us to the lender is paid partially by the borrower because they pay what we call the guarantee fee.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they pay that up front?
They do pay that up front.
Okay.
But when it comes to a veteran and under the SBA Express loan, those fees are waived.
Nice.
So that's a significant cost.
Yeah.
In lending, that's no longer there for the entrepreneur.
So the insurance is still in place. You're still kind of, in a sense, backing the veteran or backing the borrower. They're just not paying that initiation fee, in a sense.
Correct. The guarantee fee.
Yep.
So that's a big cost saver. And that's a program that's exclusively only for veteran entrepreneurs.
So once they get the funding, right? I'm a new business. I go through you guys. I get this funding. How does what's the continuation process now look like?
Sure. So the relationship will mostly be between you and the lender. The only time we would really step in when it comes to that relationship is if the borrower defaults, or if there's some sort of nefarious action that's being done by the lender to the borrower. So if you see something if you currently have an SBA loan and you see something that's egregious, it doesn't really look right, then we can be that sort of first point of contact to really look upon those actions and see, hey, why are you doing this to the borrower? Because at the end of the day, this is a program for small business owners and they shouldn't be going through any sort of unnecessary hoops,
mm-hmm,
and burdened that they already are going through day to day.
Right. What's the timeline on these loans? I mean, are we talking, I'll joke about it, right?
Yeah.
30-day paybacks? Probably not. But, you know, what type of term length?
So at the beginning of this segment, I said that a lot of individuals usually have this negative perception of dealing with bureaucracy. Oh, I don't want to do an SBA loan because it's going to take a month or two to finally get that loan. Actually, if you have everything in place, a lot of these loans are processed within 48 to 72 hours. So by the end of the week that you start this process, you might actually have that cash that you need in your bank account.
And how long is that cash being extended out for before they?
Sure. So it depends on the loan, mm-hmm, and what the purpose of that loan is being made. But there is, and when it comes to the 7A loan, there's 3-year, 5-year, and 7-year maturity rates. So it depends if you're buying property, if you're, mm-hmm, buying any assets, if you just need it for working capital. And then from there, the beauty of the SBA loan is that it has flexible terms, so it can be extended as need be by the lender should it deem it necessary. But usually it's between 3 to 7 years.
Nice. So you said as long as you have everything in place, it sounds like it's a pretty quick turnaround. I mean,
yes.
That's a shocking stat that it could be done almost in less than a week's time. Mm-hmm. What is all of that stuff? that sure. somebody would need to have in place to make it move that quick?
That's a great question, Sean. And this is when I come in with some of the what the data shows here. A lot of individuals, aspiring entrepreneurs, small business owners, go directly to a bank when they want a loan. They don't go with a business plan. They don't go with any financial projections. They're just going, hey, I need a loan. And then the lender's like, do you have XYZ? And small business does not have that. And then it ends up being into a process that takes months.
Yeah.
The data shows that if you go to one of our resource partners,
mm-hmm.
SBDC, a SCORE chapter of Veteran Business Outreach Center, and you get your business plan done right, you get your financial projections, when you actually go to in front of a lender, it's going to be a seamless process.
So you're basically saying if I just take advantage of the resources that are already out there that we just talked about that are basically free resources, follow a step and a process with them, I'm pretty much, I don't want to say we never guarantee anything, but it's almost like you're putting yourself in the front of the line to make this happen.
You're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing, Sean. And you're setting yourself up for success by using the resources that are there to help you out.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, I got one last question. You get two veterans or two military men around a table and give us a fun topic that's interesting to talk about. We talk about forever. I say it every show. I wish we could sit and talk all day. One last question to you. Let's say you're talking to somebody that's, you know, toying with this idea of they're leaving active duty and they're trying to decide, do I do the traditional route or do I go this entrepreneur side that's biting me in the butt right now that I've kind of got this urge for? What kind of advice would you give them to kind of guide them in the right direction and get them going?
Look into our Boots to Business program. Our Boots to Business program is one of our signature programs at the SBA that is meant to help transitioning service members decide whether or not they should either go the traditional route, which is, you know, be employed by an employer, or B, actually go out and start their own business. What Boots to Business does is that it basically provides an overview of what's required to start a small business. Things such as workers' comp, such as utilities, such as permits, things that are often overlooked but are quite essential for a business to start, get up and running. And actually, talking about Boots to Business, the next Boots to Business event is on October 26th, a Saturday, at Long Beach City College. So I would urge individuals to really look up that event, and it's free. Again, part of the resources, part of your taxpayer dollars. And it's there to really inform you of what's required to start a small business, and again, set you up for success.
Where can they get information on that at?
Sure. So they can go to our SBA.gov site, and then from there we have events, and go to the district office page, then go to Los Angeles, and then you'll see a list of events that are taking place, whether it's done by us directly or by one of our resource partners, and they'll see that event.
That's awesome.
And they can also follow us on our SBA Los Angeles Twitter account. We tend to post all events that are going on there, and they're free to attend.
I love it. Well, again, I want to thank you for being with us today. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to step in here. Those that, you know, I love the idea of these free resources, the fact that, I mean, small business is not really small when you think about the type of industries and here's some of those qualifications that are out there. And then I love this Boots to Business program, you know, to really help hone in and find out, is entrepreneur route the best route for me, or is it more the traditional corporate world? So thanks for coming and sharing, and we'll link up all the stuff, all the contact information that we discussed in the notes for today's show. And as always, until next time on Battlefield to the Boardroom, this is Sean Tiberio with KPCRadio.com. Keep zeroing in that weapon of education.